BMBM, thank you so much, Sapmas, for you joining in. Just getting started, I think. So just being a little bit glitchy today. Are you able to hear me? I just said add you a speaker. Oh, awesome. Yeah. I think so. We still not sure like how many people have reached out. But just starting out, so today's podcast is about headless brands and evolving narratives. Been discussing a lot of this with a lot of folks, especially Sasha has been sharing a lot of resources around, and he's been talking a lot about like headless brands. And particularly, it becomes very, very interesting talking about headless brands in crypto, because that sort of is what differentiates Web2 and like crypto projects a lot, that they tend to have a huge community that gets involved very early on and drives the brand forward or just the project forward with different sort of contributions, right from the development to outreach to community. But I sort of like, there's been always a little bit conflicting ideas also about it, whether brands should be headless, because the early on, the teething problems are significantly higher with brands that don't have a central entity or one person or like a head to lead, spearhead the narrative. A very classic example of that is Bitcoin. Early on, started with just an experiment, a white paper, and few forum posts. And these were to just discuss a proof of concept, which was electronic cash. And started by Satoshi Nakamoto. But over time, there was no like Satoshi Nakamoto completely disappeared, but like people who were around, who were early adopters of Bitcoin, stayed, and they were just like kept on building because their network was live. So they like started using it, talking more about it. And eventually what that led to is a lot more people got involved, and they felt like the more people, new people coming in, more people who help Bitcoin, started talking about different narratives of how Bitcoin could be utilized. Should it be utilized as a P2P payments mechanism? Or should it be non-censored e-gold? Would it be like a digital ledger or a programmable ledger? And then multiple other narratives came about. Okay, is it a value accruer for darknet? And what happened was interesting concept about headless brands also comes is that there is no bias that comes in. Like if we probably knew who is Satoshi Nakamoto today, there would be a lot of biases, and like people could like call out the faults of the individual person or the entity, whether a group of people, and that is something that becomes very interesting over time, that you know, as the narratives evolve, people adapt things, and then keep on like maybe there becomes these micro cosms of sorts, and where people like start to discuss their ideas. So like there could be multiple conflicting ideas, but what that does is makes the whole ecosystem very, very resilient. A lot of people sharing their ideas, feeling very involved. And this philosophy, like a lot of people within the Interchain ecosystem, draw a lot of parallel to Bitcoin, and similar sort of FEC has happened with Cosmos ecosystem as well. Initially started by a entity Tendermint, but over time it's become so decentralized, almost headless. No one team leading the efforts, and so that's become very, very interesting in terms of how Cosmos ecosystem stands today. It's almost become this narrative of build whatever and anywhere. So you see today Cosmos tech being utilized as a base layer for DEXs, for building EVMs, to building something that is completely unrelated to, say, IBC ecosystem or Interchain ecosystem. But you kind of are seeing this evolution everywhere. All the Cosmos, as its history, very similar to Bitcoin, has had multiple teething problems. But now it's starting to see that growth. And if I'm not wrong, it has the second largest number of developers across all ecosystems. So this goes to show like how headless brands, although have struggled starting out, but over time become so resilient and have like so many people contributing, and even individuals sort of having like a voice in it, which is something different to, say, Ethereum, where like Vitalik putting out an idea, a lot of people sort of like look forward to these ideas. And if we take out Vitalik out of equation, it would like put also Ethereum to some degree, although Ethereum itself has become very decentralized, but to some degree that direction would be lacking. And so this is what we want to like probably discuss today and talk about, and like just setting it the context of how it happens. And also like most ecosystems start with a narrative, but it keeps on changing. A simple example of that is with Cosmos, started as just sovereignty, app chains, and then eventually to interoperability, to how Cosmos has evolved to become now like modular stack. And of course, similarly, Cosmos Hub itself has evolved through so many narratives, being first initially the center of the interoperability, to leading on to now like becoming the center for consumer chains, our security provider, to we would see much more narratives tomorrow. So Sepmaz, if you want to jump in, I would really invite other folks as well as speakers, but please feel free to jump in, share your ideas. How do you see headless brands? What are your thoughts? What's the pros and cons that you feel? And how do you feel like generally, like Cosmos, for example, or Bitcoin so far, like why has there been so much like progress, them being even like headless brands?
Yeah, well, that's a big question, and I don't really know how to answer them, but yeah, let me try. I mean, I've been around in Cosmos almost from the very beginning. I remember I came in at the time that Osmosis went live and they did their airdrop. I did not qualify for that. But yeah, I stuck around and qualified for many other airdrops that came up then. But yeah, as you said, Cosmos as that headless brand, I mean, there are so many developers around here, and it's hard to nail it down to one specific person that stands behind Cosmos and represents this entire ecosystem, unlike other ecosystems like Ethereum or Solana that all have that figurehead, or also Cardano that leads most of the engagement and development here. Cosmos really developed in a headless brand where everybody can contribute and is always welcome to join the ecosystem. And I think with BetKits, it even goes one level deeper. We are basically that uprising headless brand that nobody really knows. Like, I don't know who is the founder behind it. Of course, now that Cortland is out there, he showed his face. But we are basically known as these, I don't know, childhood drawings that everybody remembers from their time in the kindergarten. And we just became a grassroots community that slowly began to flourish over the bear market. And right now we are getting bigger and somehow representing the Cosmos ethos. And making our way out there.
It's a beautiful point. Like, yes, I think so. Probably one of the reasons why BetKits have become synonymous to Cosmos or Cosmos builders is also because it replicates a lot of the ethos that Cosmos has. Honestly speaking to a lot of folks, first time, like they own a BetKit as well, but they really don't know who is behind BetKits. And if you look at it, there are so many people that are driving this narrative around BetKits, and they don't even have like direct relationship to the BetKits team or even Stargaze team for that matter. Right example here, right? So have no incentivization to do this, but just love the community, love how it has like grown and like become this, which is the last podcast we talked about, like builder culture fit. Sort of like the beautiful part about this is that everyone feels very involved. They don't have something to like repel from or track towards. It just is a lot of discovery period that happens through this. And that is very good. And just asking you a question, like just an open question. Let's not talk about Cosmos because it might get tricky and sometimes like, do you think if Bitcoin had a founder and which was very active, you would have certain reservations using Bitcoin as a platform? If Thetmose, if do you want to take that?
I think it's good because we are all here because of this decentralized narrative and like being independent from the government and, you know, not your keys, not your coins. So if I knew the founder of Bitcoin, that would somehow, I don't know, make me feel a little bit uneasy, even though like now that we all know it was Satoshi Nakamoto, either it was a group of people, one individual, nobody knows. It's very likely that, that person or that group is no longer with us. And that just, I don't know, adds some fuel to the narrative and is a compelling story to rally behind. And also this Web3 movement somehow, it's more about the community and a lot of people believing in one thing rather than, I don't know, worshipping one individual like Steve Jobs or Elon Musk. The guys that became famous and acquired a lot of riches in the Web2 world. So I think it's good that Bitcoin has not that one leadership team or that one figurehead that everybody follows.
Yeah, very good point. And I think the one very interesting point that you brought about is like, how do you also make your censorship resistant, like a brand itself censorship resistant, is like today if somebody has to go after Bitcoin, for example, or somebody has to go after Cosmos, who do they go after becomes like, which government, like how do governments go after somebody? Because there's no one person, which makes the whole ecosystem very, very censorship resistant, where it also makes it very robust. And while having like, okay, it's almost like you have like a million Satoshi Nakamoto today out there, if it has to come down to that, and everyone can feel like they're part of like that revolution today, because there are like now hundreds of thousands of just builders within this space, and everyone relating to that philosophy and taking it forward. The other thing which I feel like about the development itself, I feel like if you have multiple groups or multiple individuals or multiple teams, projects, each one of like iterating on one of the thought process, it tends to have is you might have a prevalent narrative which might be most relevant in that time based on what the technology can support, maybe what clicks the most with people. But you have a lot of other people which are working on completely conflicting ideas, but collectively put together, that sort of becomes much more advancing for an ecosystem. And looking at Cosmos, that becomes like a very, very good example, where you had Osmosis, for example, trying a DEX model. On the other hand, you had Stargaze trying out an NFT model. Within like the hub itself, not having like a CosmWasm implementation, while like Juno at that time came up with the CosmWasm module. You had Terra trying out completely different thing, and like Akash trying out the cloud model. It's just as like so many different teams building very, very different things, driving completely independent narratives. Each narrative sort of like clicking with different sort of audience at a different time, but all of them collectively put together has actually advanced the whole ecosystem much further. And today you see like a lot of these teams sharing these developments with each other. So I also feel like these micro narratives that exist within, or maybe you don't have a clear idea, a lot of people still ask, and it's a very common thing, at least with Cosmos, that, okay, what is the purpose of, say, Atom? This has been a question over and over again, but you kind of like see that changing in a different light, is like you have other assets within the ecosystem that act as like money or governance or utility. So just has like seen multiple iterations of this, like a same kind of tech, like roots, but like starting to see like different sort of iterations, and you are doing a lot of A/B testing. And that is, I think so, that is the reason why on the first podcast we discussed about it, probably the reason why Atom still exists even after like people talk so much about it not being having any utility or something, is probably just this narrative, that one of the narratives that still strongly aligns with it, and people are still keep on like it being the governance center of the governance, and like not money particularly, but a huge value in terms of governance, and that keeps it relevant within the broader interchain ecosystem. And yeah, like one more thing, like with respect to particularly like BadKits, Sipmos, you want to pick it up. If you think like BadKits itself have evolved a lot in terms of their narrative, so like it was initially like a small group of people had put this as a PFP, or it is interesting. So it was just a PFP of sorts, but eventually it became as that, or like, it's an identity for builders within Cosmos. And during that time, a lot of teams started acquiring bad kids from their treasury, and a lot of teams just started acquiring just for their team. Like, okay, everyone in our team should have bad kids. And today, like, bad kids have evolved to be this, like, almost like cultural center or cultural hub. And this has started, like, drawing a lot of attention to, like, say, with airdrops and things like that. How do you see, like, if bad kids had, like, a prominent person, like, you've been a bad kids holder for such a long time yourself, how do you think, like, that relevance of headless brand seeps down into bad kids, for example? And why do you see more and more people getting very drawn to bad kids in general?
Yeah, as you said, I've been a bad kids holder for a very long time. I remember back in the days when we all received the Stargaze airdrop. Unfortunately, back then I didn't mint any bad kids, which is, I don't know, kind of a remorse. I remember my ex-girlfriend saying, oh, what the fuck, why are you buying, like, no way we're buying bad kids, look at this, this is just some scribbles of a five-year-old. There are other projects that are, I don't know, which have better art. And back then, I mean, I'm in crypto from 2017 early on, but I never really understood NFTs. I never had any, but then, yeah, there was the Stargaze free mint, and I just minted some randomly, and I didn't take the time to delve deeper behind the art and the love with what Bad Kids was made. I never went to the website, but then a couple of weeks or months following the mint, I somehow stumbled up on their website, and I opened the entire collection in Stargaze, and I just slowly started to scroll through it. And that was the moment it really, like, clicked for me. I understood that this collection is unique. It really speaks to me. It's far more than just scribbles of an 11-year-old. There was so much love put into this collection, and all the intricacies and, like, so many variations and all the different body types and hidden traits, etc. So I just began buying those that I really liked from an aesthetic point of view. And slowly I saw that other people that were around in Cosmos ran them as profile pictures, but still they were flying under the radar. Other people used, how was it called, like the Stargaze bunks. But to me, like, I never bought Bad Kids in order to make a profit out of them. I just bought them because I liked them and I wanted to hold on to them. And yeah, as time passed, I don't know, somehow more people saw the things that I guess that I saw, and they started to like it. And with it, yeah, the brand slowly grew, but lately it picked up because of this airdrop narrative. But I guess none of us is here because we want more airdrops, perhaps the folks that came in a little bit later, but it's more about the culture. And as you mentioned before, Cosmos, there are so many projects. Somebody came in because they heard of Akash, this decentralized super cloud. Somebody else came in because they heard of Atom, this decentralized coin. Some others wanted to try out the decentralized decks like Osmosis, and there was never really an alignment in Cosmos or like a common vision, I guess. But with Bad Kids, it became clear that like every project is somehow aligned around this Bad Kids brand, and we all like it. And I mean, why it also resonated with me, we all were once little bad kids, and still we are, I don't know, bad kids every now and then. And it reminds us to stay young and wild and explore the world. So I'm not sure if I exactly was able to to answer your question, but this is basically what a headless brand means. Everybody understands like the narrative of being a bad kid. We all were once little children that love to draw, and one day, or there might be parents out there that have little kids, and it's just a beautiful narrative. And whenever I go on Twitter, I see all the other bad kids. I mean, I've never met any one of you before, but it feels like we are a family and belong to the same group.
That's beautifully put, and I feel I am listening myself talk when it comes to as what was the motivation to get a bad kids. I really never knew Cortland or till very recently, like Turkey 2023, had never like known, met him, or like even like known he's behind like bad kids. But just like, yeah, when they're very similar to like what you said as a kid, like how I would have drawn something and I feel very attached to it. I find that nostalgia of sorts from my childhood, and I just connect to it, and that's probably becomes like a very strong narrative. And just like everyone feeling that is the beautiful part. It's not being enforced on anyone. It's not being said, okay, this is why this was a motivation of like bad kids, or this is what the direction of the bad kids is. And so it's been, sort of become very unique in having a common attachment for everyone, still like that not being communicated. And as you said, that's probably the beauty of headless brand, is that you don't have to like enforce it on anyone. You don't have to say, okay, this is the only purpose of it. And so everyone has complete independence of how they want to perceive it, how they want to utilize it, how they want to take it forward. And that's kind of like where I see Bitcoin, I see Cosmos, and I see bad kids heading towards, is that different people will do different sorts of things with how like bad kids could act. And somebody would have, okay, there should be an airdrop for it. Somebody would say, okay, this is an index of Cosmos, which I also strongly believe in. And like you mentioned, it sort of brings around that there is Cosmos alignment, and that Cosmos alignment is called bad kids. And there are other interesting ideas as well. So, for example, recently announced at Filament about bad kids, although we're not spill all the beans here, but just like the thought process behind it is that how you have individuals that are closely aligned with the culture, they come in and they sort of become a crucial component of or like for example of a DEX. Now that sort of is the biggest advantage of how you would differentiate yourself from a centralized exchange or centralized entity to like saying, okay, how a decentralized exchange would work. So from a builder perspective, I see like bad kids is the most refined group of individuals that understand probably the interchain best, and the contribution that they can make to a project is way beyond just saying, okay, you have like people who hold a bad kids NFT. Just you have like these people understand deeply into a certain ecosystem and the amount of value they can add. And I know like a lot of other folks within the space, they are thinking of even more interesting ideas around just bad kids also. So that's kind of like was great like thinking about all this. And thank you so much for like adding that very, very like simple way and very interesting way of like how you got involved and how these things work. I just take a moment to like say if anyone else wants to come on like as speaker, please, if you can send a request, and just like maybe adding some thoughts over what I and Zafmaz discussed, what it means for you to hold a bad kids. And Fred, do you want to come on? Dijin?
Oh yeah, and in the meantime, while Dejan or somebody else gets up here to become a speaker, like shout out to you, Abitesh, for hosting these badcasts. I guess it's the first time that I appear or like I speak on a spaces. I did some Stargaze spaces, but yeah, it's not my bread and butter. But of course, always eager to share my experiences here. And one thing I wanted to add before I let Dijon go, and yeah, afterwards we have to negotiate our thanks. Like you have that bit kit from with the fangs, and I own the bat kit. That's also a very interesting dynamic there with the bat and the bit kits. And I don't know, I just wanna think out loud here, because there were some rumors. I mean, the second anniversary of the Bad Kids collection is coming very close. It should be somewhere in April, if I remember well. So I anticipate a surprise. Don't know what it will be, but Cortland teased it here and there. Of course, there is no roadmap and no promises, but there might be, yeah, might be something waiting for us, Bat and BitKits. And I think it could have to do, like, if you hold both of them in your wallet, Bat and BitKits, you might get extra rewarded. And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
That was a big alpha that you just dropped here, Safmas. Thank you so much. I hold both of them in my wallet. So I am eagerly looking forward now.
I mean, no promises. This
Yeah.
is just me speculating, reading between the lines. So take it for whatever it is.
I think so. The other beautiful part about headless brands, you don't have to have a roadmap. Somebody is doing something with it and pushing forward the existence. And so, yeah, like I have never read a Bitcoin roadmap, honestly. And similarly, like, don't see like Cosmos as a whole tech stack or ecosystem putting out a roadmap. Although, of course, to get the momentum going within like each hub, there is some roadmap in general. Like, and similarly, I think so. Success for me is I'm always in the happy space, knowing that I own a bit bad kids, and the potential is limitless. And it just is because, like, probably a lot of people talk about this counterintuitive idea. The way you have to kill a NFT collection is you announce roadmap and utility for it, and suddenly you have limited the scope of what that collection means to somebody and also what it can do. So yeah, I think so. Dejan left. Actually, maybe just a glitch on this end. But with that, I think so. Safmas, any other closing thoughts? Or we just been running for 30 minutes and maybe close here, but any thoughts from your end, like any closing thoughts?
Yeah, so as you said, no utility or like having no roadmap is probably the best thing that any NFT collection can have, especially, I mean, the blue chip ones is Spunks, Bad Kits, and all, I don't know, Pudgy Penguins. I don't think they are in that kind of stadium, because there's something more like Bored Apes. There's so much depending on what they ship next. Of course, lately they picked up the airdrop narrative, but like having no utility is the biggest utility for me as a Bad Kid holder. And as we or most of us remember, on the first anniversary, nobody expected anything, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue sky, there appeared a Bit Kit in our wallet. So yeah, let's see what happens for the second anniversary. I'm sure that yeah, somebody in the background has thought about it and might surprise us. And if not, I mean, nothing happens. We are yeah, just proud Bad Kids holders, and yeah, always happy to I don't know, be part of this ever expanding family. And just one final note, I have some friends of mine that bought some bad kits, I don't know, 1 or 2 years ago, and they have nothing to do with crypto. They don't even know what the ADEX is. But I don't know, they feel so attached and aligned with bad kits. You know, they run them as profile pictures on their WhatsApp. On their WhatsApp accounts, and whenever we meet, hey, what's up, bad kid? How are you doing? So it's like that narrative, that headless brand that extends and reaches far beyond crypto and Web3. And yeah, that's just beautiful to see.
Yeah, very, very nice thing to end, Sepmos, on your end. It just is, yeah, very similar. I had bad kids as my profile picture for a very long time, and I have these little cousins that I go visit very often, and they see it and it's like, hey, like, who drew your picture? We want to draw you as well a picture. And they gave me like a drawing, and this is like last year, and just as like, yeah, probably they are more into bad kids than you know, most of other people as well. So it just says, yeah, that's beautiful way, like how people are getting more and more inclined into it. And I think so it's also a great dumbed down version of like what Interchain is, I think so, today. And like people are getting more, like, I think so Bad Kits is doing more good work or God's work to get people onboarded into Cosmos now than like probably like a lot of projects. So it's very interesting. We have Alan here as well. Alan, any thoughts on like what you think about headless brands? What like comes to your mind when you think about Bitcoin, or you think now as of today, like if you were entering Cosmos without like knowing its history, there's no one person driving Cosmos, there's like every team doing their own thing. Even like Bad Kits, for example, most like owners don't even know who is the artist behind it. Who is Scotland, and like just people like, yeah, just owning it, flexing it, talking about it. So what do you think about like headless brands, pros, cons?
Yeah, so I guess what you're saying by headless brands is where there's no figurehead, there's no like founder that's really driving out there in the sort of public space. I think it's good in some ways. I do think there's a natural instinct for people, even in crypto, to want a leader. Coming out of enterprise, you always want a throat to choke. And I think a lot of times, I don't think Ethereum would have gotten where it got to without Vitalik. Now, Vitalik isn't, you know how like Bitcoin maxis sort of will position him as some sort of dictator on Ethereum, and we know that's far from the truth. But in general, I think the fact that Vitalik was there, at least from a thought leadership perspective, was very helpful, right? Because I think you have to be able to like iterate, evolve, and change. And I think early on, you do need more sort of like centralization at the social layer so you can get cohesive directionality, even with sort of the aims of what you want to do, right? Cosmos doesn't have that. And I think it's not a right or wrong. I think it's why there are certain things that are good about Cosmos, and the trade-offs is there are certain things that you think there's more of an opportunity, right? People, when you say Cosmos, people look at the Atom price and they're like, oh, I'm not interested in this. I mean, this is what Ethereum people have told me. Right. They don't understand. So many people don't understand that Celestia is Cosmos. So many people, not in the very direct way. And maybe one day it'll like have the IB, like the IBC. My point is Osmosis. A lot of the app chains, people don't understand that that's Cosmos. I have a friend of mine. He has a bunch of ETH. I told him about Bad Kids early mid-December, and he said the only reason he didn't do it because he's like, I don't know what Stars is. I didn't like it, looked like some generic thing. And then when I told him, oh, like this is for a Cosmos, he was like, oh, I didn't know that. And he was like, oh, I didn't feel like moving over ETH to get Atom to get like stars, like people just give up, right? Because the narrative just isn't easy. So I think there's just some trade-offs, but Cosmos is where it is. It's very social. There's not as much as like adversarial behavior. So I think that's also one of the good things about the Cosmos ecosystem, right? So it's, I don't think there's just one way to do it.
100%. Yes. This is like what we discussed at the start of the podcast today as well. It's like, okay, there's a lot of like pros and cons, and especially like headless brands, the journey, they have a lot of like teething problems early on. But there's also like, as you said, there is a natural instinct of everyone wanting a leader. But in absence of a leader, there's also like this human instinct to sort of go in and fill in a role. So like a lot of people like stepping up. And I think so that's been very true in the case of Bitcoin. And also like that's how like multiple narratives start to become around like a technology. Like one of the articles that Sasha shared with me, written by Nick Carter, talks also about like how it's like seven different narratives over time have been prevalent around Bitcoin. Some of them have completely abolished. Some of them still are very strong. And it just says that pushes the ecosystem, the entire ecosystem forward, because you now have different people working on different things. And yes, I completely agree on the fact where you said like Ethereum, probably like looking up to Vitalik, so maybe the reason why Ethereum grew so fast was that like one person like maybe sharing that ideology, if not like completely governing it today. It would be like, as you highlighted, it would be very wrong to say like Vitalik is a dictator within Ethereum. He's not. He just puts out great thoughts, and a lot of people like, today I can go on to Ethereum and do anything. It just is like having that probably just direction sometimes is very helpful. But similarly, like very beautiful concept in Cosmos has come about is people even don't have to, like you have to pay no one any taxes, how I would like to put it. You don't have to be aligned with Cosmos to truly like utilize Cosmos or go out and build something. So it's just as the narrative has started to become is build whatever anywhere. So you can build an like an EVM chain using Cosmos tech, which for example, Bera is doing, or multiple other chains are doing. You could build a complete DEX and never talk about like Cosmos, for example. So I think so that itself, like that comfort of people knowing that they don't have to pay kind of like any tribute to anyone is also an interesting factor. The other thing is, on a closing thought, probably this could be a great summary as well, which we discuss is, so what I talked about is kind of association. People become very, very open to associating themselves with something like a technology, with like an ecosystem, knowing that they don't have to kind of like go out and pay a tribute to anyone. They don't have to pay kind of like social taxes to anyone. And you can have a completely different vertical you can be talking about. The other thing is you kind of become very, very censorship resistant in a way if you have no one person to go after. And that makes like the whole ecosystem very robust, right? And we are seeing that with Cardano now, for example. It just has like there's been so much fall of like the whole narrative on one person, and there are not enough people to defend it. It's kind of like the ecosystem is starting to get in a very tricky spot, while you have other ecosystems where it's just like one person does not drive everything, and just like those have thrived over years. A great example of that is Cosmos. So I guess like thinking about if Cosmos tech has to be censored, who do you go after? Becomes a question. How if you have to censor Bitcoin, who do you go after? There's not one person that can be answered. So it's another interesting way of looking at it. Like headless brands become also within crypto, which is one of the most important thing, is censorship resistance. We talk about saying, oh, it's a decentralized, a lot of people holding, but if there is one person to kind of like pin down things on, things can get, you still would have like a fall off. And a great example of that, for example, was Tornado Cash. I mean, like not one person like was like driving it, but like you could have people who were the face for it or the developers behind it. And now it suddenly sort of like became the target. And so, yeah, those are kind of, I feel like, where headless brands play a very crucial role. And on that note, any closing thoughts, Seth Moss from your, Alan from you? Guys, make sure you're on mute if you're speaking.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, I think it's really that I mean, everybody identifies as a bad kid. We don't need a leader, of course. Initially, in order to bootstrap a community, it's necessary probably to have a leader, but we're now at a point where it's probably better to don't have a leader, the same way as to don't have a roadmap. So we're basically infallible. Like, nobody is ceasing to be a bad kid anytime soon. I guess for most of my bad kids, I will hold on to them for my entire life, and it would be a privilege to inherit them to my kids one day. And I think a lot of other bad kids holder feel the same way. And if you look at the distribution, like headless brand, there are almost 50% individual owners. So a lot of folks just hold one bad kid, and they will probably hold on for it for the rest of their life because they associate with their bad kid. They love it. Their bad kid became their, like, represents their own personality. They're part of this larger Web3 family. So, yeah, these are some points I wanted to highlight here before Alan or somebody else wants to, say some final words.
I think so. Alan is mute. So, yeah, and things on the closing note. Very interesting points brought up. Like, there are trade-offs. I think the brands have to realize what they're aiming for. If a lot of protocols tend to or should like generally need a leader to drive that initial direction, and then as the protocol matures, you tend to have more people join in and take it forward. But that direction sort of tends to always help and keep the people aligned. A great example of that is Ethereum. You also tend to have like a other component of it where probably, I think so, it just goes to say ecosystems that want very, very different sort of diversity of individuals to come in, sort of have very, very diverse thought processes as well, need to have like some words more, like they need to get to that headless state much faster and become this completely self-sustaining ecosystem, which is not reliant on one person. You tend to have a lot of people driving completely different things, and those things sometimes complement each other, sometimes conflict with each other, but as a whole, they push the ecosystems forwards. So just as understanding what these things, what works for what protocol is important. And there are different components of this, specifically within the headless ecosystem we talked about today, is the association that people feel, the comfort that they feel getting into something that does not have to be specifically aligned with somebody's vision. The censorship resistance we talked about. We talked about the growth that an ecosystem sees with different narratives and different things. Some of them stay over time. Some of them stay relevant. Those particularly sometimes are a factor of time. Sometimes is how that technology as a whole is perceived. Lastly is like, it just is interesting how we are seeing more of these experiments in crypto. And probably that's why I feel so proud of myself and proud of so many other people who got into crypto so early on, we can think about these things at a scale only in crypto. Had it been any other space, it's very hard to do that. And so we definitely have come a long way. And some of the things that probably Satoshi Nakamoto thought on the day one of how like how would the next generation of internet look like, we're kind of like living part of it. So it's beautiful that way. And it's just building. And always happy to have people come on to this podcast. Just, it was an experiment which has been going, and it's been going good. Thank you so much, Alan, today for joining ZepMoz. Thank you so much for, you know, coming in early, being so helpful, and everyone who has joined in to listen, and hoping you guys come in more of these podcasts and like join in as speakers. The main goal of these podcasts is not to promote any agenda, not to promote any sort of like things, just like Bad Kids. It just is an open forum where people come, share their ideas, talk about things that like they feel they associate to, and we will keep doing those. And again, highlighting this has no affiliation with any particular team, but like just as a collective effort. And every time we have great speakers who come on. So yeah, just keeping it open, keeping it very on the fly thing, experimental, without any particular agendas. And so, yeah, please, if you like it, do share it with other people. Do come in the next podcast as well. Host it every week. Now trying to host these on Thursdays. Ideally, Fridays are a lot of busy for a lot of folks. So, yeah, with that, have a very, very bad evening, or stay bad. Thank you so much. Bye bye. Take care.
Bye. Thanks. And stay bad.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of pain. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few Z's. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.